From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Lots of news breaking tonight, folks, out of Dallas, Texas. Oh, my gosh. Stick with us. And we're going to do some shifting of some programming tonight. So hang in there. Here's the breaking story. At least four Dallas police officers have been killed tonight, some shot right in the back when two snipers perched in a nearby downtown parking garage opened fire during a protest over police shootings of African Americans around the country, Louisiana, Minnesota. Dallas police confirmed shortly before midnight local time that both suspects now had been taken into custody. They are alive. One of the suspects captured after a shootout with SWAT members, a suspicious package discovered near the suspect's location, was being secured by bomb squad members as I speak. Another man, whose picture had been circulated by authorities as a person of interest, had turned himself in. It was not immediately clear whether this person was in fact the second suspect. Dallas Police Chief David Brown has confirmed the four fatalities, three Dallas officers, one transit officer as well, and he said seven other officers and a civilian were wounded in the surgery. Three of the injured officers reportedly in critical condition, two others in surgery as I speak as well. John Lott, of course, is the author of The War on Guns and More Guns, Less Crime. He's with us right now. John, another tense situation here. Tough to be a police officer in this country. Some of them overzealous. In some cases in Louisiana, Minnesota, caught on video, people streaming live. But this situation in Dallas, as it unfolds, John, I want to get your reaction to it.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's too early to make any comments about what happened in Louisiana and Minnesota. Obviously, the one in Minnesota, at least, was a real tragedy. But you don't know what types of warnings the officer gave to the person before the shot occurred there. You don't know exactly what was happening yet in Louisiana. The problem, though, is that there's been a steady drumbeat of what I regard largely, in many cases, misinformation about cases, whether it be the one in Ferguson, Missouri, or other cases in New York, that, you know, there's a certain lens that people have looked at these things initially, and it turns out that they don't hold much water when you get further down the line. But it's not like those initial claims are cleared up. And who knows what happened tonight? One thing, I was watching Fox a little while ago, and they had what appeared to be footage of one of the individuals kind of moving from column to column, hiding behind it.
Right.
And I can just tell you, having seen a lot of training that goes on, this person, it seems likely to me, either was in the military or had some type of military-type training. And, you know, I suppose we'll learn more about that soon, but you know, it's pretty scary when you have people who have that type of ability to go and target groups of people like this.
And John, let me ask you this. Police are saying that some 60 shots rang out from this. And, you know, just based on our experience, you and me talking together over all these years, this sounds like something that is not that planned. Two people, two individuals who had the ability to get weaponry to do what they did. It sounds like they might have had some former military training. They had a little precision there in their shooting. They were very accurate. What do you think about that?
Well, that's one of the first thoughts that came to my mind. I mean, here you have individual shooting from a fair distance. I'd like to know exactly how far of a distance. That's going to determine a lot about how difficult these shots were. But when you're talking about moving targets like that, people going behind different types of things for protection, particularly from a distance like that, I mean, I don't know what the weather conditions were or the wind, but this individual, these two killers, apparently were pretty good at hitting their shots.
They sure were. I mean, they knew what they were doing.
You know, it's not everybody who can do that type of thing. And that also, as you say, imply some type of training. Now, whether they were in the military themselves or they got military-type training from somebody else, you know, I guess we'll only have to learn. But when you're going after moving targets, probably moving in erratic ways, and yet a large percentage of your shots are able to go and hit, you know, but undoubtedly a very small percentage of the bodies that are moving out there. I mean, I can only guess that police officers, what, may have made up, you know, a couple percent or so of the bodies that were out there, you know, maybe 5%, maybe less. And yet, with just one exception, all the people that they hit were people that had been in uniform with all the chaos, at least after the first initial shots. You know, if you have 50 to 60 shots over 3.5 minutes, and you have, you know, you hit 11 people or so, and presumably a couple of those may have been hit multiple times, from that distance and that chaos, that's a pretty good rate of hitting the target.
Indeed. John, thank you. We may call you back tonight as more situations here begin to unfold. The protest over the shootings of the African-Americans in Louisiana and Minnesota, two individuals in Dallas, was going very peacefully, and then the shots rang out. Taylor Millard, of course, is with our iHeart's 24/7 news source. And Taylor, what can you tell us right now? Can you give us an update?
Well, here's what we know. We have four police officers who are dead. One of those is a Dallas area rapid transit police officer. Seven others are in the hospital in a variety of conditions following this attack in downtown Dallas, which happened at the end of the march that was going on, this protest against police shooting. Dallas police have two people in custody. One person was taken into custody following a shootout with SWAT officers in a college parking garage. The second suspect turned himself in after seeing his picture, which was released in the media. He turned himself in, and he's being questioned right now. Now, police are also questioning two others who they saw, one person carrying a camouflage bag walking quickly in downtown Dallas. The individual threw the bag into the back of a black Mercedes and sped off at a high rate of speed. Police were able to pull the people. There were two people in this Mercedes. They were able to pull them over after a brief police chase. They are questioning both of them. We obviously don't know right now if they're connected to what happened in downtown Dallas. Police are trying to figure that out right now. There's also going to be more information that is going to be released actually in about 15 minutes or so with a news conference, which is scheduled. The Dallas Police Association is asking for prayers for Dallas Mayor Mike Rollins and Chief David Brown as they guide us through the aftermath of this terrible tragedy, and for our brave police officers as they continue to work to protect the families of Dallas. That's a statement from the Dallas Police Association, which actually doesn't have a good relationship with Chief Brown. Dallas, that union, there are actually four Dallas police unions. That union called for the chief to resign earlier this year due to a spike in crime, which happened in parts of the city, parts of East Dallas and parts of South Dallas. So it's kind of a rare show of uniformity and a rare show of positive praise and asking for leadership from the Dallas Police Association towards the chief.
Well, Taylor, too, most unfortunate because the protest in Dallas was going quite peacefully before these shots rang out. Now that situation, of course, is going to be extremely tense throughout the night, even though they have the two suspects in custody and they may be searching for a few others. In terms of the calmness in the area, does it seem like people have dissipated down there?
There are a lot of people who are trying to get out of downtown Dallas that cannot get out of downtown Dallas. DART, which is the public transportation here in the Metroplex, or at least in the Dallas part of the Metroplex, they've shut down everything. They are not allowing people to leave downtown. So people who use DART, whether it be the DART rail or the DART buses to come to this protest, they can't leave. They have cordoned off an area in downtown Dallas. Obviously, that was due to the shootout which happened at the El Centro College parking garage. That's, you know, outside of that, I think a lot of people are just in shock as to what happened. The Dallas police have a pretty good relationship with the community. There are issues from time to time, obviously, between citizens here in Dallas as well as the police. However, everybody enjoys a pretty good relationship. In fact, this protest, there were protesters who were taking pictures with police officers. So it's not like there's this strain, you know, that you see in other parts of the country, like, say, a Ferguson or a Chicago mm-hmm. or a Baltimore. You know, Dallas has done a lot of outreach, whether it's from, whether it is to all communities, whether it's the Black community, the white community, the Hispanic community. They've done a really good job at having a good relationship with people. So that's why something like this is completely shocking, because nobody expects something like this to happen.
Well, and Taylor, is it too early to even speculate that this has anything to do with maybe some outside terror at all? I don't think it does, but is that something that police are thinking about?
Police are being very quiet, obviously, about motives and stuff like that. You know, they're about to give an update in about 10 to 15 minutes. We obviously don't know a motive right now. At some point, a motive is going to be released. But right now, you know, we don't know why this happened. And that's something that I think a lot of people are trying to figure out right now. All we know is 11 officers have been shot and 4 of them are dead.
Yeah, very sad. Taylor, we will be in touch with you throughout the night for some updates out there. So stand by that phone, okay?
Will do.
That's Taylor Millard. He is with iHeartMedia's 24/7 news source, and so glad that they are out there staying on top of breaking stories for all of us as they unfold. When we come back in a moment, we'll be talking with Howard Bloom about this situation in Dallas through the minds of people who are upset. And that's the big story tonight as well, because we don't want this to carry around the country. This very tense situation, which initially started in Louisiana and Minnesota with police shooting to death 2 individuals, has now spread into Dallas, where they were having merely peaceful protests. So we'll be back with Howard Bloom in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, folks. If you're just tuning in right now to listen to the program, we're going to do some program adjusting throughout the night. We will be talking with Bill Forstgen about EMPs, because Iran is saying that they might want to detonate one over the United States. It's one of those nights. But right now we're following this very tragic story in Dallas, Texas, where 4 police officers and 7 others wounded, 4 police officers shot to death by at least 2 snipers. They've got them in custody now. Things are tense, but they're starting to calm down somewhat in Dallas. We will be doing some continual updates throughout the night as well on this breaking story. Howard Bloom, of course, is an expert on the human mind. And Howard, I wanted you just to give us some insight into this moment of hatred. I mean, we have a situation in Louisiana and Minnesota where police officers may have been a bit too overzealous, shooting to death 2 African Americans. But in Dallas, peaceful protesting, and then shots ring out, 60 shots ring out, and these police officers are plucked down. What's the mindset of somebody to do something like this?
You go back to 350 years. To 1650, your odds of dying a violent death at the hands of one of your fellow human beings were 10 times what they are today. We have learned to deal with situations that in the past produced murder, outright death. We've learned to deal with those situations in a totally peaceful manner. That's one of the remarkable aspects of what Western civilization has achieved in the last 350 years. One of the things that you and I have been commenting about for the last year and a half when we've talked about the post-Ferguson Black Lives Matter movement is that despite some riots in Ferguson, for the most part, these movements have been peaceful. That means dealing with something that would formerly have resulted in violence in a peaceful manner. There are people out there who call for violence. Those people are, and this goes to motivation with these shooters, these snipers. The white supremacist movement has called for a race war, but these guys weren't white, at least not the one of them whose picture is in front of me right now, the picture the police sent out when they were looking for him. There is the black Muslim movement, which was calling for a race war, felt that that would bring about the end times of civilization. And then, of course, there are the Muslims. We're not talking about all Muslims, we're talking about the jihadists, the kind of people who've been blowing up civilians, innocent civilians, left, right, and center in the Middle East nearly every day over the course of the last week. We don't have that kind of thing in the United States, but the Muslims are trying to bring it here. The white supremacists have been quiet recently. Who knows if they still want to bring it here? The black Muslim movement has been quiet recently. Who knows if they want to bring it here? But ultimately, the most dangerous kind of violence of all comes not from people who are unhinged, not from people who are losing their minds, not from people who are desperate, but people who are idealists and who think that you can correct society and bring it to some blissful next stage, some paradise, through killing. That's the way the Marxists felt at the end of the 19th century and in the early 20th century. It is still the way that a Muslim jihadists feel today. And as I said, we've been very lucky because the white supremacist movement and the black Muslim movement in the United States have been very quiet about this kind of thing for the last few decades.
And you know, Howard,
they have been questioning two guys that they have in custody. The big question is what the motivation is that comes out of these guys' mouths.
Exactly. And how many others might be there behind them? Is this an organized group? You know, is this two people who just went nuts and ballistic? Obviously, they were dressed
in
camouflage.
Two guys who went nuts and ballistic from everything that we've heard, George, because your previous guest said very clearly these are obviously guys who are highly disciplined and highly trained. And where do you get training of that sort? You get it in the U.S. military.
That's what I said.
We've had shooters from the U.S. military. Look at the Fort Hood shootings. And the other major source of training for this kind of thing is the jihadist movement.
Well, that's another thing that I brought up, Howard, and something that I'm sure law enforcement needs to look at as they begin to find out just exactly who these suspects are, those that are in custody. You know, I don't want to speculate because we just don't know yet, but that may have been a motivation as well.
Right, and the one whose picture appears in the Dallas Police Department's Twitter feed is young, good-looking, happy-looking, and looks like he's in great shape, and he's wearing a camouflage top. And somebody's put a question underneath this tweet about how in the world is he getting away with walking around with what looks like an assault weapon in public, but c'est la vie.
You got that right. Howard, thank you. Keep in touch with us, Howard Bloom, with his insight into the human mind. You know, the protesters had gathered after a Minnesota officer on Wednesday fatally shot an individual while he was in his car with a woman and a child in a St. Paul, Minnesota suburb. The aftermath of the shooting was purportedly live streamed in a widely shared Facebook video. Technology does so many things these days. And a day earlier, an Alton Sterling was shot in Louisiana after being pinned to the pavement by two white officers. That, too, was captured on a cell phone video as well. So as good as this video is to let us know and inform us quickly, it also does have that possibility and that capability of inflaming when you don't see the entire picture, the entire story. That situation in Baltimore, for example, when the individual, Freddie Gray, died in the van. Almost all, so far to date, the police officers have been exonerated. They have been acquitted in their trials. Obviously, the evidence is those police officers did what they had to do, and Freddie Gray just died in the van because, well, he had his problems, medically and otherwise. In this situation, We just don't know yet as it begins to unfold. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Bill Forstjen standing by. He's going to react to the story that Iran could be targeting America's electrical grid with EMP weapons. We'll also be doing some live updates throughout the night with reporters in the Dallas area. So stick with us right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast. And by the way, my many thanks to all of our listeners, many of whom are emailing me right now as we adjust the programming tonight. You will hear your interviews, but we will be devoting lots of time to this tragedy in Dallas, where at least four police officers have been killed, seven wounded by snipers. The snipers apparently are in custody, at least two of them, and police believe that there were two. So that story will continue to be followed by us throughout the night. Taylor Millard, of course, back with us from iHeart's 24/7 News. Any more updates for us, Taylor, out there? You are our eyes and ears right now.
Yes, I do have an update. Chief David Brown, the police chief here in Dallas, is talking to reporters right now and says that SWAT officers are still negotiating with one suspect. So the suspect who was captured after a shootout with police, they're working on talking to somebody else right now. So there are multiple people who they are talking to, multiple people who they are trying to get information from. Some of them are in custody, others are not. One thing that the chief says is that this person who they are trying to negotiate with is not being very helpful. Obviously, there's still information that's coming out on this, but Dallas police are negotiating with one suspect in a parking garage at who is suspected of being involved in this attack on police officers here in Dallas. Four police officers are dead. Seven others have been shot. There's also a civilian who has been shot, although police are not releasing a ton of information about that. So that's what we know. They're negotiating with a suspect. Another suspect is in custody. A person of interest turned himself in and is being interviewed. And there are four police officers who are dead and seven others who are in a variety of conditions in Dallas hospitals right now.
So, Taylor, if we have this right, two people in custody, one picked up by the police, another turned himself in, and now they're negotiating with at least a third person?
Correct. Now, one thing that the brother of the person of interest has tweeted out, he's been tweeting during this, he said that he had nothing to do with the shooting whatsoever. He wasn't involved. He, you know, doesn't know what's going on. However, and they're also releasing the identities of the officers who were killed in this shooting. They've released some identities. Others, they have obviously not released the information of the ones who were killed tonight. But they're starting to release some identities of the officers who were involved in this.
Okay, Taylor, we'll stay with you throughout the night as you update us on this very sad and tense situation in Dallas, Texas. Again, four police officers gunned down by at least several people, two in custody. One was arrested. Another turned himself in. They are negotiating with a possible third person as well. So we'll be monitoring this situation throughout the night for you. The shootings have apparently stopped at this point, but we will still be monitoring what is going on. Very sad situation in Dallas, Texas, once again, rocked by another situation. You remember what happened back in 1963, of course, with the tragic assassination of President John F. Kennedy in Dallas, Texas. So once again, Dallas rocked again with more tragedy. Now, another story, of course, that we have been following, and it is an amazing story indeed, is that's the situation in Iran. We will be back in a moment with Bill Forstjen to update us on that in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Noy with you, and we'll continue to update you on that tense situation in Dallas, Texas, where at least to date, four police officers have been killed, seven wounded during a shooting episode during what was a very peaceful protest toward the tragic shooting of two African Americans, Louisiana and Minnesota, that has occurred over the week. And gunfire broke out from snipers. At least 60 shots rang out, and these officers were gunned down. We're going to monitor this situation for you throughout the night in Dallas, Texas, no matter where you are, whether you're in Wichita or New York or someplace in Atlanta, Georgia. We will be watching this for you throughout the night. Now, here's another breaking story that is so important for you. Iran could be targeting America's electrical grid with an EMP weapon. It's called a passive defense. It's a secret Iranian military document. Now, our dear friend William Forstgen, author of 1 Second After and 1 Year After, with us. We have been talking about this now, Bill, for what? At least a couple years, warning everyone that we need to insulate our power grid. And look what's happening.
Yeah, George, it's a pleasure to be with you, even on the toughest of nights. The issue you're talking about with EMP, we can go back to 2004 with the congressional report on the threat of EMP that made a very clear warning to America. So that's 12 years ago since this issue has been publicly on the table. And we're not yet seeing any constructive response from our federal government.
Now, in this particular situation with the targeting of America with an EMP weapon, tell us how it would work.
Okay, EMP, shorthand for electromagnetic pulse weapon. It's easy enough to generate. You detonate a small nuclear weapon. We're not talking about the big city busters of the Cold War era, a bomb not much bigger than Nagasaki or Hiroshima, lofted above the Earth's atmosphere, detonated at a range of about 200 to 250 miles up. The gamma ray bursts coming off the bomb in the first microsecond as it hits the upper atmosphere, sets up an electromagnetic disturbance that accelerates, well, doesn't accelerate, magnifies, and then as it strikes the Earth's surface at the speed of light, it sets up a disturbance through our power grid system, meaning every wire out there is like an antenna, picks up the overload, and 1 second after, you've essentially shut down the power grid across a fair part of the United States. The worst case scenario for us would be using three weapons, eastern United States, central United States, western United States, detonated at about the same time. You've shut off the grid of America, according to congressional reports of 2004 and 2008. Here's the bad one. 90% of Americans would be dead a year later.
90%. That's frightening, Bill.
Yeah.
As if we don't have enough to worry about on this planet with things like this Dallas situation and everything else that's been happening.
Giorgio, like you said, you and I have been talking about this, well, since my book came out in 2009. I've done hundreds of interviews. There's experts you've had on, like Dr. Peter Pry, a man who has been working on this issue for 30 years. When you say 90%, the reaction is, oh, come on. But let's think about this. Folks listening to us in Phoenix tonight, where does your water come from? Where does your air conditioning come from? The average city water supply without electricity shuts off. What are you going to be doing 3 to 5 days from now just for water? Food supply. 21 to 25 days, essentially, basically on hand in any location in America, from what's in your fridge to what's coming into the supermarket and trucks. You're out of food. Your pharmacies, within a matter of days, completely wiped out. And then societal breakdown. Casualty rate, 90%.
90%. Now, with and we haven't even discussed the solar flares, of course, from the sun, which could also wipe out the power grid. I mean, just look at the situation right now. Can you imagine what would happen in cities like Dallas or New York or Los Angeles or Chicago with no power and people out there looting and doing whatever they have to do to survive?
Well, we already saw that, didn't we, in Katrina and then Sandy. But even there, the infrastructure was still up. Command and control, police and emergency response was somewhat ready, far more in Sandy than with Katrina. But we saw what was devolving into a societal breakdown within a matter of several days. And no matter how catastrophic Katrina and Sandy were, they were essentially local issues. I'm up in North Carolina. Even as Katrina was unfolding, the college I teach at, a Christian school, we were loading up a whole truckload of emergency supplies to send down to a school near New Orleans to help folks. Aid was coming in from all over the country. Suppose the whole country is hit with that level of event simultaneously. Where does the help come from?
Well, that's a good point. Now, let me ask you this. Peter Pry, he's on our side. He's trying to get some legislation passed to get this done, to get this fixed. Where do we stand right now, Bill, on this situation?
Highly frustrating. And in fact, just before you and I went on the air, Peter Pry posted a very good memo this evening about national security leaks and the threat to our society. But where are we? I've watched Peter Pry within the Washington system devoting himself for years to what's called the SHIELD Act. Twice, as far as I know, it got through one of the two houses, and I think in one case it came off the floor of House of Representatives, bipartisan support, bipartisan, in an age in which we're at each other. One senator blocked it, pushed it into a cubbyhole in the committee, and killed it. When I started working on this issue, first time I talked with you, sir, you know, appealing for federal response, I'm now looking at it from the other direction, that we as individuals have to be prepared and not be standing there helplessly, as we saw at Katrina, people standing on the roof, holding up signs saying, help me. If the federal government's not going to respond and state governments are moving slow, we as individual citizens better start preparing ourselves.
We're with Bill Forstgen, author of One Second After, as we talk about a potential EMP attack. We'll be continuing to update you on the Dallas shooting situation throughout the night. Next hour, as a matter of fact, I'm going to open up the phone lines for all of you, but anybody specifically in the Dallas, Texas area that might have been a witness to this situation, or you can continue to give us information, we will keep those phone lines open for you as well. We've got Bill here for another 12 minutes or so as we talk about this very just bizarre situation with EMPs. What do you know about Representative Trent Franks? Is he on our side?
I'd like to think so. The one that was the real pusher for this was Roscoe Bartlett, and what was his reward, essentially? To be gerrymandered out, and his district essentially lost. We have a lot of good people. I mean, I'm working on a study group now for Congressman Mark Meadows out of North Carolina, and I'm placing this as the number one issue. We have a lot of good people. However, we have a bureaucracy that at times is impossible to wade through.
Since you've been involved with this, which has been several years, way before I even jumped on board, Bill, have you seen any progress toward protecting the grid?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Gross stupidity, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm screaming the question. Why is it? Well, you know, George, you've been working in areas like this your entire life. Some people go, "Oh, that sounds too sci-fi." No, it's realistic. Let's go back 75, 80 years. Did nuclear weapons sound sci-fi? Jet fighters, aircraft carriers—that was all the stuff of fiction of 20s and the 30s. Became a horrible reality in the 40s. So that's a major thing right there. It sounds sci-fi, or there's other issues to deal with. This is the single biggest threat to America at this moment. You know, historically, hey, the bubonic plague of the 14th century still echoes. About a third to a half of the population died in that one. Imagine 90% today.
Bill, on a night like tonight, when we're watching some more tragedies unfold, and if we get hit by one of these, how much can people take? How much can they take before they start to just revolt?
That's a frightening question. I was doing an interview a couple of days ago where mention of here in Western North Carolina, we ran out of gasoline about 4 years ago for a complex variety of reasons. small regional thing.
And yeah, and short term, right?
Short term. And yet, this wonderful part of my country of friendly folks, it started getting very ugly within 2 or 3 days. Very, very ugly. And that's when we still have massive communication systems and everything else. This was just simply over gasoline. Pull the plug on one or two things, but the key one is electricity. Watch the whole system start to disintegrate.
No gasoline pumps, no water pumps, no ATMs, no nothing.
Mm-hmm. In fact, even as I was watching the news situation here before going on with you, why is it that this particular channel chose the once weekly, this is a test in the emergency broadcast system? So the screen went blank for about 30 seconds. Ice water down my back.
Oh, yeah. You begin to panic.
Yes. We have to be prepared as individual citizens. I noticed how you advertised a couple products related to that. I am appealing to everyone. Learn the old Boy Scout thing. Be prepared. Start working at your local level, and then maybe as enough of us become prepared, the bureaucracy further up the road will start to react to us.
You then wrote, after 1 second after, 1 year after,
mm-hmm.
which is as frightening as 1 second after, Bill.
Yes, it is. It's my wonderful new bride loves to point out, I'm actually not a depressing guy to hang around with.
No, you're not. We've been in various cities together.
Yeah, but it's a touch of the Jeremiah in me of trying to get a warning out there. Wake up. In the same way when I wrote Day of Wrath 2 years ago about the threat of ISIS striking soft targets in the United States, we are facing a multitude of threats. Wake up, America. Be prepared. Be prepared beforehand. The chance of surviving as an individual, but also as a nation, is enhanced.
Were you surprised by this story that Iran has laid out a plan to EMP us?
Not in the slightest. And, George, you and I both know, Iran's been talking about that for years. So has North Korea.
Yep.
So this is nothing new. This is the equivalent of you're driving home, you hear your neighbor, gunshots in your neighbor's yard, you peek over the fence, and he's shooting at a picture of you and your children. Are you going to react, or are you just going to shrug your shoulders and say, oh, I'm not going to worry about it?
Well, and you don't even have to take out the entire country. You can take out pockets of grid systems, can't you?
Well, we could spend hours just talking about the Fresno scenario of a couple of years back, where 20 generating system, transmission system, 19 out of 21 major transformers were blown out by a sniper. Two more, and they would have shut the whole thing down.
Well, then I think that was a test, too.
We mentioned Dr. Peter Pry. He's absolutely firmly convinced of that, and that's a man I really respect. If he says it was a test, I believe him.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, when we saw the situation unfold in Dallas tonight, just for a split second, I'm thinking, is this part of a bigger picture? I hope not. I don't think it is. But the timing is not good for us to have to go through that again.
Orlando 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, now this. It's going to be a tough summer, a very tough summer.
There's a lot of bitterness out there, Bill. There's a lot of hatred. There are a lot of people who are upset and uptight. I've been saying this for 2 years now, that I keep sensing that there's something impending, that people are just losing it, and indicative of this again.
Yeah, I'm appealing to all your listeners. And we're talking about some tough stuff. But think about if you know that in your home, even if it's an apartment in a major city, if the bad stuff starts, you have water for a couple of weeks. You have food. You have a source of heat. And I don't even want to take the topic into the ability to defend yourself. That's a topic I don't want to go near. It's choices people have to make. But let's go to the essentials. Food, water, heat. Suppose you just have that for 2 weeks. Don't you have peace of mind with that? It's an insurance policy. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, we really are. Bill, would you give out your website and where people can get your works, which I find to be so important?
Well, I mentioned I have a wonderful new bride. She's reorganizing some things for me, but right now the best one would be, just all one word, dayofwrathbook.com. That focuses in on more on the issue of ISIS and terrorism. but also other information. dayofwrathbook.com.
Let us keep our fingers crossed that some politician gets this done, gets this pushed through. But we can't give up, Bill. We need to keep pushing from our end, too, don't we?
Absolutely, yes. It's one of the reasons I have such great respect for your program. You're getting the word out there, and you have to do it over and over and over to make it resonate.
You got that right. We won't stop. Bill, thanks. I'm going to put you on hold. Tom needs to talk with you. I will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we continue with our coverage of the Dallas police shooting. Sad situation. Four officers to date killed, seven wounded. And we'll be checking in with our reporters and other guests. And also, the phone lines will be open throughout the night now. Those of you specifically in the Dallas area, check in with us if you would. We'll be back.
Feeling lost? Not close to your radio? Grab your smartphone or computer and listen to iHeartRadio. Pick up the free iHeartRadio apps in the App Store or go to iHeartRadio.com.